Hello. Today is December 3rd, and we're here with the news. Now, today is the day we find out about Tesla, right?
Oh, yeah, it's the trial should start today. I wonder if he'll be there. This might just be like
He's just tweeting his
preliminary.
answers. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Seems like that would annoy the judge.
Well, sometimes you just send your lawyer for the early parts.
Yeah, that has already annoyed the judge in several things.
Well, listen, he can't be expected to take time out of his busy day running eight companies into the ground.
How was your guys' Thanksgiving? It was a holiday here in the States. Was that good?
I know I can't not do it, but every year while I'm doing it, I'm thinking, I can't do this again.
I don't mind it, like, once we get there. It's just the driving is
The driving
miserable.
Is the most... Yeah. Pleasant part.
Oh. Oh. My car battery died the morning of Thanksgiving, which was great.
It's probably because of the short in your headlight.
No. No, it was the original battery, so it had never been changed. So
not the alternator then?
No.
Well, that's lucky.
Yeah.
How easy was it to find a mechanic on Thanksgiving Day?
My cousins came and picked us up, and then... Later on that night, we drove my mom's car home, and then we went to Walmart on Black Friday to go get a battery to replace it.
Now, there have been reports that Black Friday was underwhelming this year. Is that true of the local Walmart?
It was... You know, I haven't been to really a Black Friday in a long time, so, like, I found it completely overwhelming and overstimulating, and as did my husband, but, you know, I guess I don't know. I'm not a good judge of that. I thought it was kind of crazy, but there were a lot of people. They rope off sections of the store.
I avoided human contact for a good part of that, so that's probably good.
Well, it was a weird news week. As I was reading the news, I was thinking to myself, this is a weird jumble of things, and you can tell that a lot of people are on vacation this week. It might have been the B team working the websites.
Some weird spelling errors, grammar errors.
But let's start off with what has become the theme of fourth quarter 2019 as we run into an election year. And that is the politicians attacking the tech giants.
Democrats propose sweeping new online privacy laws to rein in those tech giants. The bill comes after a series of scandals, including Cambridge Analytica that exposed personal data of millions of consumers. I read this, and I wanted to think that the Democrats referred to by this Guardian article were earnestly trying, but I think this is political pandering, and that makes me so sad.
Well, I thought it was just like, because they blatantly say it in the article, they're like, yeah, we can get lots of fines from the tech companies if we do this, and I was like, oh, that's a little
yeah.
But
a little
sometimes
cynical.
Good things can come from political pandering. Let's not forget that the slaves were freed on basically political pandering. I mean... You can sometimes good things can happen. So this is basically being described as the American GDPR. It's very similar. They may have borrowed.
They borrowed a lot from the California thing too.
Which borrowed.
Yeah.
So yeah, this would just make the California thing federal, I suppose. These are not the usual tech politicians that you hear the names of. This is kind of a new crowd.
You think that they've experienced like some sort of the creepy advertising where it's like, you're just thinking about something, and then you get an ad in the mail, and it's like, are you thinking about this? And it's like, how did they know?
They guessed.
Maybe. Or maybe they just want votes.
Or money from fines.
Maybe they've seen headlines like these and thought to themselves, hey, wait a minute. I have a driver's license. That affects me.
The California DMV is making $50 million a year. Selling drivers' personal information. This is Motherboard doing more. This was happening a while ago. We reported on this a while ago, but this article has a lot of new information that Motherboard has been able to obtain. And
we didn't know the value.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, it was that town hall meeting. There was one of the quotes from the town hall meeting that was like, look, we're going to have a serious budget shortfall if we don't keep selling your personal data. And it was like, what? How much are you making selling? And it was like, never mind, go away. $50 million. Yeah, ooh. I could see how they would have a budget shortfall. That's a lot of money.
And this is after they've stopped selling it to anybody who asks. There's now a vetting process because a stalker killed somebody with that information. So this is the toned down version of this, which seems weird because that's your data that you don't have to give it to them, but in America, you kind of have to have a driver's license.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have a job, you could maybe in some parts of California do the public transit thing, but in like the more rural parts, the farming parts, no chance.
The quote in there was really disturbing too. It was something like, well, we just, you know, we just sell your data to car manufacturers and advertising agencies and prospective employers
and insurance companies.
Anyone who asks.
But nobody else. Yeah. And it was just like, who's left?
The stalkers. Who they used to do business with.
Happily. I have to wonder, if you're from California, you can tell us in a comment, what is the road quality like there? Like, do you guys get potholes repaired? Or?
Oh, no. I guarantee the $50 million was just for bureaucracy.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we need more office positions. And it's like, but the road's disintegrating.
I'm sure that's wildly variable based on where you are. But they do have, like, some of the most famous, like the Pacific Coast Highway, for example.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be just a dream for a sports car owner. Because you're looking out over the ocean, sometimes inches away from it. Or
from your death,
the cliff that falls into it. And it's a windy road. The other big thing we've been talking about a lot is Ring. And it seems like every week something new is revealed about Ring, and every week it's worse. And guess what? They didn't take Thanksgiving week off. They found something worse this week as well. Good old Stars and Stripes, which I've never heard of before. But we have four articles left, which is good news.
Police can keep Ring camera video forever and share with whoever they like, the company tells a senator. So we reported last week that senators had questions. Well, they got some answers. Maybe not the ones they wanted, but hey, wow, okay.
This is on the back of last week, them saying it's up to the Ring owner not to film sidewalks and roads and public spaces.
Or children.
And
yeah, who come to the door for Halloween.
We don't really monitor that, and we give whatever we want to the cops. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, and after we give it to the cops, it belongs to them, and they can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah. So what's to stop the police from just having a thing that's just automatically going to download everything all the time? They're probably already doing it.
The answer is nothing.
What if they do, like, a Faces of Meth, you know, anti-meth campaign?
And it's all Ring footage?
And it's you, and you're in it, and you're like, I'm not on meth.
That's just how I look. And act. I'm just jittery.
Did you guys see that... This is unrelated to the tech news, but one of the states, was it Iowa, I think, did the anti-meth campaign, and the slogan they came up with was, meth, we're on it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Meaning, they're on the case, but...
I don't know if it meant that, because reading more into it, I think they might have known exactly what they were doing, and they were like, no, we need awareness. And in order to
do
that...
Who isn't aware of the, like, meth and opiate crisis?
Well, I think part of it was also, like, they took pictures of regular folk, and it was like, meth, I'm on it. And you're like, oh, I wouldn't suspect you to be on meth, because everybody in Iowa is on meth. Like, literally everybody.
I feel like you get pretty severe, like, symptoms of being on meth pretty quickly when you get addicted.
You can maybe hold it together for a while.
The algorithm just learned not to display our content in Idaho.
Iowa.
Corn country.
There's nothing else to do.
Idaho's potato country.
It seems like not the same.
They're kind of the same.
If Ajit Pai is the hardest working man in corruption, then I think the Oracle legal department is the hardest working legal department in the law. Because they are constantly being sued, and more often than that, suing. They love to be in court. And I think it's because they don't have anything else to do, right? They're not innovating or creating products. They're just suing everyone. And once again, they didn't take the week off last week.
Oracle finally responds to the wage discrimination claims by suing the U.S. Department of Labor. How dare you say we can't underpay women and non-Caucasian staff? So the Register, and I was like, okay, it's not really that bad, is it?
It is that bad.
It's really terrible. The Register write-up on this is amazing. They went 3 years without hiring a single black person. Was that what the article said? Something to that effect.
Well, they also had, this doesn't mention it in the headline or the subheadline, but it was also like older people were getting discriminated against. So it's like literally anyone who wasn't young, white, and male.
They went a ridiculous amount of time only hiring H-1B Asians.
Yeah.
Young men. And then someone called them out on that, and they're like, all right, we're going to make a change. So they just switched to Indians and hired exclusively Indians for the next 3 years or something. So.
There was some like hiring professor that was like, if they just, like, the chances of this randomly happening is 1 in a billion.
So they are absolutely saying, not that they didn't do it. I think the facts are there, but they're saying that it is not the Department of Labor's business.
Except it kind of is, though, right?
Like, hey, listen, not according to Oracle.
Well, I knew Wendell would be excited about that story because he hates Oracle.
Yeah, well, as with everything Oracle, black is white, up is down. That's just Oracle. That's just how they operate.
Yeah, and these big corporations assume that they can get away with anything because they often get away with everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this big push about late-stage capitalism and, oh, capitalism has failed. But, and I feel a little bad saying this because this is the argument that the communists always use. It's like, no, that was the wrong kind of communism. But what we have here is crony capitalism. You see, it's the revolving door. It's the government in bed with the corporations. That's what has to stop. And no better example of that is the state of Indiana.
India manipulated a report on Amazon workers' death to lure HQ2, investigation says. I think this was I heard about this on NPR first, and there's a lot of good information on the Indy Star. But a dude was crushed by a forklift. He was doing forklift maintenance.
They found him 2 hours later.
So yeah, yeah.
And they only realized because there was a pool of blood. per the article.
He was just taking a nap. You know, it's like, oh, he's just taking a nap. Oh, wait, there's blood.
There was also a safety device that would apparently have held the forklift up or something. That was
but
just
no
like
one trained him to use it.
Yeah, and so ultimately Amazon blamed the worker, but the guy that investigated it for like the labor board or whatever was like, no, this is going to happen when you have these circumstances. You need to change the circumstances. And there's a lot of good evidence that that guy had a lot of pressure put on him by his bosses, even though they deny it, to just make all that go away. Amazon wasn't even fined for this.
He actually recorded it. So in Indiana, you can record just one party, even if the other one doesn't know. And he recorded his boss being like, listen, we don't want Amazon to go away, so we need to like just, you know, quietly change the reports so they don't look as bad.
I like how they denied it, too.
Yeah.
This is the investigator.
Even though he's recording.
He's the guy. So he actually talks about... He walked in, he got called to the commissioner's office after he submitted his original report, which was like, they did 29 violations, I think, was it?
Yeah, 24, 29, something like that.
The commissioner said, with the governor standing next to him, we're going to make some changes to this. And the governor said, look, we have numbers here of how good it would be if Amazon brought their headquarters to our state. Not anything about this dude dying. I think that's the guy that died.
That's his son.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. That's his son, yeah.
So he was trained to fix the forklift with just like the other guy that fixed the forklift. He's like, oh, let me show you this real quick. There was no official training, which is why he didn't teach him to put the pole in place that would keep the forklift from killing you. And the investigator said, hey, you know, if he had been officially trained, you'd have a record of that. Show me that record. There was none. Yeah. And it just went on and on from there. But there's still no justice here. That man's dead.
Amazon did not move their headquarters to Indiana.
I'm sure
Indiana's still mostly corn and soy.
And it's still on the record as being his own fault.
Yeah. This is just, it's just terribly, terribly shocking.
And here's the question
it's
you
not
have to
shocking.
Ask yourself.
It is sad.
You could say, yeah, he did something stupid. All right, fine. Maybe it's common sense that, you know, this is a giant thing that could kill you. But what do you think would happen if he said, no, I'm not servicing the forklift?
He would have been fired.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Because that was one of the things is like this is one of the more automated Amazon warehouses, and unofficially those more automated warehouses have a reputation among the workers as being death traps because the robots do not get out of your way.
Yeah, there was another article that cited it's a crazy like 29% more injuries.
Yeah.
In an Amazon warehouse.
It also talks about how because Amazon has some very athletic people that are working. Like, some people are, like, you know, built like a wrestler and, you know, have all this amazing upper body strength and, like, they can shove the packages around. They can keep up with all the machines. But, and so they'll set their benchmark for everybody to be those, like, super athletes with packages. And that's not realistic because most workers that you hire can't keep up with the, you know, that standard. And so it's always going to be a losing game.
If the impeachment does not turn out to be Donald Trump's legacy, his next legacy, other than Orange Man Bad, would probably be sanctions. He loves them. He loves to throw them out there to punish the other economies with his sanctions. One of those targets is North Korea. You're not allowed to do anything financial with North Korea. quick reminder out there, just in case some of you were thinking about vacationing there.
I think that technically predates Orange Man Bad, but they've gotten a lot more aggressive about enforcement. Let's
say. I think this is part of his like Iran,
like the crackdown thing.
Like there was a new one. I mean, we've never really done business with them, but this one was.
What are they exporting?
Somewhat fresh.
U.S. Manhattan U.S. attorney announces the arrest of a United States citizen for assisting North Korea in evading sanctions. That's the headline. What actually happened is a dude that works for Ethereum was paid by his employer to go to North Korea, and they talked about using Ethereum to skirt sanctions. And the State Department has a problem with that. In fact, they warned him not to go. He went anyway, and this is probably not going to turn out good for him.
Oh, no. No, he's done. The days are over. He also had dual citizenship. What was it? I think Singapore or someplace? And he was himself planning on getting out of the United States and trying to dodge the arm of the taxation and all that stuff. So probably wasn't a popular guy in the State Department in any sense. But now his argument is, I didn't teach these guys anything they couldn't find on the internet, which is probably true.
Well, but North Korean internet, though? Like,
That's true. Well, I don't think he was talking to the people. I think he was talking to,
officials, yeah.
Kim Jong's inner circle. Who knows? And speaking of despotism, China. Now, we make a lot of dark jokes on this show about the kidney farms and the re-education camps. And in hindsight, those were maybe a little more insensitive than I'd ever thought. Because it turns out there's some real good evidence that all that is very, very, very real.
Yeah, this is ICJ or ICU or ICIJ. I don't know.
Investigative journalist something something.
The name of this was the China Cables, and this is a very long article, but it's worth reading. China's operating manuals for mass internment and arrest by algorithm. And there's actually a lot of quotes from Chinese officials saying, oh, this is fake news and blah, blah, blah. But no,
UK embassy was like, oh, we would never do that. Yeah. This is actually a good thing.
There's a lot of investigation a lot of independent journalists have done on this, and it seems like it's confirmed. So, like, all of the stuff that we've joked about before is actually real, and I guess if you don't, like, there are people that are released from these internment camps, but only after they've been re-educated in the Orwellian sense.
And this is the Muslim communities, which Uyghur?
I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Some people say in the comments, but I always forget. But anyway, we knew that they were messing with those people and basically looking for any excuse to arrest them. What we didn't know is that there was this software in the back that was like, go raid this neighborhood on Thursday. And the Chinese were just like, yep, here we go. And they're filling up these camps. And it's all based on this. It's like how long you stay there, what re-education you go through, when you get arrested.
When you can go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that was like a big part of the report. It was like scheduling bathroom breaks and how to prevent disease outbreak in the camps.
Well, that was in the cable, but what they're revealing is all that's being decided by the AI and then taught to the guards.
The other thing in some of the Chinese correspondence was not really as strong of a denial as, like, it was almost... I mean, I'm being a little facetious here, but it was almost like, this is mostly fake news. And we would also point out that our methods have resulted in no terrorism attacks like this.
The GDPR rose 6% was the ending note that the person they interviewed said.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Now, the question is there a fork of that software being worked on right now for Hong Kong?
Yeah, there definitely is. And that's going to be bad. That's going to be really exceptionally bad for those people because, I mean... You know, if no one's ever allowed to go outside, there would also be no terrorist attacks, right? I mean,
I wonder how long it's going to take before someone manages to get footage inside one of those camps because they've been taking satellite imagery, but I don't think there's been any like pictures or anything have come out of those yet.
But I wonder.
It's only a matter of time, right? Like,
I wonder if anybody at this table has played an Activision Blizzard game in the past 7 days.
Nope,
not me.
Oh, that reminds me. Your computer's almost put together.
Oh,
it's actually. I think it actually is fine if you have. I think all you need to do is put your video card in it. And, maybe a hard drive or maybe not. It's got a hard drive in it, but I didn't know if you needed one.
No, I should have one.
So that should play. It's Ryzen 3600X. It's going to play Blizzard Activision games even better.
Oh wow! She can betray the people of Hong Kong at 120 frames per second.
Well, PC was fine. It's just having issues on startup. But anyway.
Speaking of China, if you are a regime who controls the news, deepfakes probably scare you a little bit, right? Because that's going to be hard to control when people can literally use your face and voice to say things that you don't want them to hear. And they're being proactive.
Reuters has an article that says China seeks to root out fake news and deepfakes in new online content rules. And so this is the headline. The story is about like you'd expect, but you should read this story after you read the preceding story, and suddenly the story is a lot more dark. It's like, oh, don't mind that guy screaming in agony as we remove his kidney. That's a deepfake.
Yeah, it gives them pretty much totalitarian control. And they say if you don't label those things, then you could face fines and maybe even some jail time, maybe some re-education time if you put out a deepfake. Or they also put VR into this.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, like, is anybody looking at VR content and thinking it's reality?
Like, VR content it's more reality, real. Right? It's, like, harder to fake.
I'm not sure how that... I think they might have just been sweeping as much into that bill as they possibly could.
They mentioned they might be making it illegal soon, too. Like, just to have them at all.
That might be a dark future, is, like, we've got the James Cameron Avatar-style, like, 3D camera recording, like, the stereoscopic recording, and, like, only those broadcasts can be trusted because they're harder to deepfake. Like, what a dystopian future. It's like, I saw that on the 3D TV.
And that has kind of been the... Well, that's the thing with YouTube, right? The whole citizen journalist thing. And they'll go to places that the mainstream news won't necessarily cover, or will cover very one-sidedly. And those videos are not welcome on the platform because it's a little too real for the advertisers. So if you make it that... in such a way that you have to have amazing hardware to even just record the news, that gets past that easily.
Yeah.
India has entered the space game. Actually, they've been there for a while. And as we saw, they've been launching a bunch of rockets. And the thing about India, do they have the best rockets? No. Do they have the best spacecraft? No.
Best robots? No.
Do they do it cheap? Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. They will save money. And maybe they went a little too far.
2 months after the failed moon landing, India acknowledges its craft crashed. But more importantly, they've got the postmortem. How exactly did it crash? The braking thrusters did not fire. That would be very sad, because every time that Kirk and Spock had to travel back in time, usually the first thing that happens is Spock wakes up and says, oh, the braking thrusters fired. Well, they didn't fire. It crashed into the moon. Everything's terrible.
I think what happened was not a failure of the thrusters themselves, but the monitor that told them when to fire. Unfortunate. So they won't admit that that craft is in tiny little pieces on the moon, but it's a good chance that they say that they lost communications.
Yeah. At 186,000 miles an hour.
Oh, and speaking of, when we talk about despotism and changing actual maps, just changing reality. Of course, we think of China, right? We think of Taiwan. Pretty soon, we'll be thinking of Hong Kong and the South China Sea. China wants to change the maps, and that's the one of the ways they want to do hearts and minds. But Russia says, wait just a minute.
Apple changes Crimea map to meet Russian demands. Wait just a minute. How much are American ideals worth? About $700 a phone.
Now, you might be thinking, oh, disgusting Apple. They'll do anything. Well, Google did this in September.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Listen, we got to do business in other countries. We've grown to the limits of, you know, what's a little despotism here and there.
With Google's, though, didn't Google set it so it was, like, regional dependent? So, like, if you were to Google that in the U.S., it would show it as being part of Ukraine?
I think that's true here as well.
Yeah.
This is only in Russia.
But still, I mean...
it is still kind of garbage. How do you think... I would love to hear this from the perspective of someone who used to paint globes. Like, do you think they ran into these same issues? I bet they did.
Yeah, no, it's like, here's the fake globe for this, or here's the...
It's like, boss, where do I draw the boundary here? And it's like, don't.
Yeah, but once it's out, you can't
change it.
Go back and see, that's the difference now, is you can just memory hole the whole idea. BBC pointed out that on their map, they put like little stripes all over the area with a footnote that says it's contested, which is interesting. I wonder if they do that for the South China Sea.
Even that would be preferable, honestly. Like, that would be preferable to just displaying different maps for different people. That's, I don't know.
You think there'll ever be an international argument, like when they're playing Call of Duty,
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm looking at it right now. It's Russia.
Yeah, I don't. It's definitely going to be a generation of people that have no concept that the computers and software have gotten so sophisticated that depending on who's asking the question, you get a different answer.
Yeah, we've had clients before, and they'll be like, "Oh my God, we're on the front page of Google." I'm like, no,
Google just knows who you are.
Yeah. So on to social media. Last week we talked about the Wikipedia version of social media. What was it called? I don't even remember.
It was so forgettable.
We estimated how popular it would be. I think we might have underestimated it a little bit.
Jimmy Wales has got a plan to hire journalists for the rebranded news-focused social network. This is the one you can pay $100 to join right now.
Or you can go on the waiting list.
Yeah.
So he actually tried to do a version of this where the journalists ran the site, and then you could go in and be like a helper for the journalists. That failed.
Mm-hmm.
So his new plan is you run the site as social media people, and you vote up what you want to assign the journalists to, and then they go and look into it, which is a very interesting idea.
That is an interesting idea. I'm
interested to see how that works out. But
all the journalists I've met have no interest in celebrity, but if you get some journalists that wouldn't mind starting a Patreon, we could probably end up with some fairly significant stuff.
Well, no, you can contribute directly to the story.
For whatever reason, most journalists are like, I don't want to.
Well, you're supposed to take yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's true anymore, though.
Yeah.
Like I do think that they're very interested in celebrity.
I'm just imagining like the journalists that did the Pentagon Papers, like, you know, with his Patreon. That would be weird, and they'd probably attack that. Like, they would be like, "No, this is, we're going to appropriate that."
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that just kind of like opens you up to like getting in trouble easier.
That
if you're investigating something sensitive.
Matt Taibbi was on Joe Rogan. He I don't know if he's still with Rolling Stone, but he was with Rolling Stone during the financial crisis, and he wrote all their stories about that, and they were really good. And Joe was like, "Man, I don't know what's wrong with, you know, journalism today. It's why is it that we have all this bet?" And he's like, "No, it's the advertising model. We have to get clicks or we'll starve." And Joe was like, "I don't know, man, but there's got to be something we can do." He's like, "No, it's the advertising model. We have to do that, or it's not, well, this is a
there's
business.
There's no money."
And Joe was like, "Man, I don't know." And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And speaking of advertising, if you are not a YouTube Premium member, you have something to look forward to.
YouTube starts widely rolling out its massive auto-playing masthead ad on TVs.
Thank goodness, something to really improve the YouTube experience.
Oh, Lord.
Masthead is such a marketing term.
Oh.
That's a banner ad.
Oh, I've thrown up a little in my mouth.
When you roll over it, it gets bigger.
Just a friendly reminder, this show is available on Patreon.
Oh, there's the big version.
They kind of already do this on the website. I'm assuming this is just the app, I guess. But
for like anytime you're running the YouTube TV, whatever that is. But I'm sure it's coming to the website soon if it's not already there.
No, it's definitely... I've gotten ads like this on the website before. A couple of times.
Yeah, it definitely exists online.
Krista sent me a parody video about... You know those guys
the
who
entrepreneur.
Are like, it's like how to be an entrepreneur on YouTube and like attack the day kind of garbage. And on my work browser that the chat program opens into, I don't have an ad blocker because, you know, we work on websites, some of them have ads. And I clicked on it and I saw the title and I knew what it was going to be, but there was a minute 25 ad of the real thing. And I was a minute into it before I was like, wait a minute, this is a real one. It's running
this
as
isn't a parody.
On the Facebook because it's so hard to tell them apart. It's just such garbage.
I like in the parody of the entrepreneur, the guy's constantly doing this. Like just walking around like this the whole time.
Oh, we need to get one of those evil lair chairs. Because that would be good for a video. Like the one that comes like up behind you. And then
like a wingback chair. We have the green ones. They need to be reupholstered because they're ugly. But
I get the blue thing. Do you see the blue thing? You came up? No. I got a chair cover that's blue.
Oh, like a slip cover.
It's almost not terrible.
NSO is an Israeli company who do the kind of Stingray, Gray Key, you know, like hack the phone type of stuff. And they also hack popular social media apps like WhatsApp. And turns out Facebook wasn't a fan of that. And because Facebook can do whatever they want, look at those terms of service. They banned them.
All of them. Every NSO employee, even the janitor.
They've retaliated.
NSO employees take legal action against Facebook for banning their accounts. The lawsuit argues Facebook violated its own terms of service and Israeli privacy law for using employees' personal information. At first, I thought this was going to be an American lawsuit. I was like, they don't have any ground to stand on. But because this is an Israeli lawsuit, there might be something to this. This will be something to watch because Facebook did just ban the entire company, not just the accounts that were abusing the API to, you know, do a Cambridge Analytica type operation, but literally anybody who's like, yeah, I work for the NSO.
Now, they claim that because they told Facebook where they worked as part of the sign-up process, that should not be something Facebook is allowed to use against them. I don't know how true that is.
Well, it's not that doing, like, saying where you work is inherently wrong or inherently, you know, something that is a bannable offense. But some of the people that do work there and also attack the system, those people would be bannable.
Well, they'd have no idea of figuring out who that is. It's collective punishment, which is super effective, but not something that you should use. It was a favorite tactic of the Nazis. The actual Nazis, not the New Age Nazis.
Nazis too.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Remember when Facebook had those SDKs that would let third parties get more information than they should? No, not that time. The time after that. No, actually, not that time either.
It's only been 3 weeks ago that we reported that they finally closed the last loophole.
I think this is the fourth iteration.
Facebook and Twitter users' data has been exposed due to a third-party SDK bug. Wah, wah.
I like the cracked egg stock photo there. That's good.
So this is another instance of very large, let's call them advertising partners to Facebook and Twitter that had more access than everybody else. Facebook, and to a lesser extent Twitter, are trying to get a handle on that because of scandals like Cambridge Analytica. But it's hard to close those doors once they've been open, and this one's been open the whole time.
I don't think they revealed who it was, did they?
No.
So we're not sure who had it or what information they got. All we know is it was too much. And in light of everything that has happened recently, how did you let that happen?
You literally told Congress you'd fixed it three fixes ago. This is the fourth one. What are you doing? Is the Congress critter paying attention? Because this is awful.
Now, with that in mind, do you remember that time that Facebook got in trouble for paying teens to take surveys and harvesting their data? It was a big deal. And you think that internally Facebook would be like, listen, paying people to take surveys, it's off the table. You'd be wrong.
Engadget reports that Facebook's Viewpoints research app pays you to take surveys, but it appears that it avoids the privacy issues of the past. ..
For now. While it's, you know, convenient and they're advertising for it.
Great job. You earned a $5 reward. Here, have a cup of coffee.
And I don't think it's straight money, right? It's always a gift card or something like that.
Usually, yeah.
Probably like a Facebook Pay promo. Anyway, it's not worth it. They're going to make so much more money off your data than you're going to get from them for taking that. And then it's going to be used to advertise to you. Oh, man, that's just... I guess if you really need the money. The other thing about China, the constant fight with China is, what about companies who are based in China? Because we know that the Chinese government doesn't just let you run autonomously. They have their finger in everything. And to what extent, you might ask? Well, TikTok may have just exposed their hand a little bit when it comes to that.
TikTok's catastrophic handling of a teen who posted anti-China videos shows that it's almost impossible to run a viral platform while following China's rules. So a couple of weeks ago, we reported on, like, senators and other people saying, hey, TikTok's getting kind of popular, doesn't it? Isn't this kind of bad because it follows, like, Chinese ideals? And they were like, no, it's just, you know, in China we do Chinese things, and in America we do American things. Well, the aforementioned kidney harvesting, this teen had a real problem with, and that was really all it is. It was not super controversial.
But it was the Muslim thing.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah, the camps. Yeah.
Now we see, you know, the solid evidence that she was onto something. I don't know if this was before or after that. I think it was before.
Before, yeah.
So she wasn't wrong. Well, it doesn't appear that she was wrong. It appears that she was dead on. And what she was saying was the truth, which should be, you know, like, everything's fine as long as it's true, right? Wrong.
Yeah. But now that it's gone viral, they've reinstated her video in, not in China, obviously. Yeah. But,
Well, does TikTok, I don't think TikTok operates in China. It has another name in China. It's different.
Yeah. So.
Which, I haven't watched her video, but I saw some stills from it in that article. And she's, like, curling her eyelashes yeah. and stuff. And I was like, that's an odd.
Well, I think it's one of these videos where she's just, like, sharing her thoughts, you know. And sometimes you got to do your eyelashes while you're
yeah.
reporting on the atrocities of the Chinese government.
Ain't nobody got time for, you know, just journalistic reporting. It's like, can you imagine, like, Walter Cronkite's like, I'm going to work on my basket weaving here while I tell you about the news.
Well, you know, in her defense, you do have to look good to be a YouTube talking head and get any kind of following.
Yeah, I mean, just...
I said to get any kind of following.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are definitely Z-list, so...
If you are one of those people who lives and dies by your Twitter follower account... No, not account. Count. You are in for some terrible news.
Twitter prepares for a huge cull of inactive users. Yeah, people are getting emails from Twitter that's like, hey, if you don't log in, we're going to free up your handle for other people, ..
Twitch did this a while back, and people on Twitch were very upset that the inactive accounts were culled because it made the follower accounts look way worse.
You never know who, like, dies.
Yeah.
Well, now you do.
So people do get upset. I think Facebook had that happen as well, where they started getting rid of old accounts, and it was like, no, we set up like a memorial on their page, and it's odd. It's a weird little like cyber graveyard.
I didn't want to do our next story because I don't even want to. It's just so vapid. I just don't even want to talk about it.
This could have been a nonsense.
But it does point out that the Twitter bots are, they don't care. You know, they are just trying to minimize the controversy. And it doesn't matter how silly or innocent your comment is, they will destroy you.
Twitter suspends a man for hoping a Star Wars character, a fictional Star Wars character, dies painfully.
Quote, like, you had to add the fictional.
And it was Baby Yoda.
Look how cute he is.
Well, I think the bots got it right, obviously. I mean, who would wish death on Baby Yoda? Although, we know that that's not Yoda, and... Baby, Yoda doesn't refer to a species.
Name? Yeah, what is the name of the species of Yodas?
Yoda's mysterious. I don't
He's
think
a
we
Star
know.
Trek guy, not a Star Wars
Somebody
guy.
In the comment knows. So anyway, no, that's another thing. It was okay. So now that's also not it.
There's somewhere so many tweets in this article.
I guess they put, but someone was like, "Baby Yoda is the greatest character ever, and everybody loves him." And this guy, you know, was being sarcastic. He was like, "You know, I hope Baby Yoda dies painfully." And the Twitter bots were like, no, that's hate speech, and you have to go.
7 days. 7 day, he was not allowed to post or like anything on Twitter.
I like to imagine that wasn't just a bot auto-responding, but it was something specifically from, like, Disney Plus. They're like, get rid of that.
What's crazy, though, is Disney is sending a lot of takedowns over...
the memes of the little...
Yeah, and, like, it's just... I mean, Disney... does not make it, like, Disney likes, they've gotten really good at making content that becomes a cultural touchstone for better or worse. I think that's probably a terrible idea.
But I think in this case, it's kind of positive. I mean, the Baby Yoda stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
It's going to draw viewers. You got to see more of that little guy.
Well, I see him enough on the internet. I've never actually watched, what is it, from The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, it's commercially positive, but... not actually, like, genuinely a good story.
Have any of you got... Oh, did you watch it?
No.
Oh, okay. I've heard some people who said it was, like, decent, but it was weird seeing something Star Wars in the television format.
I'll watch it when it's done. This week-to-week stuff, I don't play that game anymore. So, either way, I won't be tweeting about it.
I'll watch it when they have HK-47 in there. Like, they need HK-47 or one of his predecessors. It's, I don't know. Well, that's it for today's news. What do we got for tomorrow?
I haven't decided if we're going to do business by itself Should we do...
Business wasn't that long, was it?
Should we do medium-length business and long Friday, or should we do long Wednesday and short Friday?
Let's do long Friday. Because the nonsense... You're all going to watch the nonsense
Everyone
section anyway.
Nonsense.
It's good for our numbers. See you tomorrow.
Bye. Hit stop.